You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon, and...
Hey, this is Michael Heidemann.
The JB, or JV.
JV.
I'm calling you the JB.
JB.
The JV John Hansen.
Yes.
As someone pointed out.
The less handsome and...
Oh, no. You are your own
awesome,
man.
Though. Thank you, Esmeralda.
Man.
I didn't fail at being John Hansen, did I?
No.
Oh, thank you.
You're a good substitute.
Good. Thanks, Esmeralda.
On the line right now, though, we have a man who is the curator of the Museum of Failure, Dr. Samuel West. Good morning, right? Or is it afternoon for you?
It's still morning here.
Oh, good.
It's turning into afternoon soon.
Very good. So you are the curator of the Museum of Failures, and it's in Helsingborg, Sweden, correct?
Sweet. That's correct.
So yes. So far you haven't failed. Oh,
yeah?
Good. Yes. So tell us, what is the Museum of Failure?
It's a collection of failed innovations, whether it's products or services that in some way failed to meet expectations. Usually they were commercial flops. Everything from sort of tech gadgets and smartphones to food. I have some mm-hmm. Olestra, for example.
Oh, no.
It was a fat-free substitute. Yeah, it was fat-free, calorie-free, fat. And if you ate the potato chips, you didn't get fat, but you sat on the toilet.
Yeah. No, I remember that. Everything had Olestra.
Diarrhea.
Yes.
Olestra, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a very big problem, and I'm glad we started off this segment hot.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought it's always good to start off an interview with diarrhea, and then
yeah.
It can't get worse, you know?
Well, the crazy thing is, you say that this is a passion project. You know, there's a lot that's going into it just from your own sense of being. Like, what was the draw to this? What made you want to create this amazing museum?
I'm an innovation researcher at Lund University, mm-hmm. and I consume so much sort of business literature, academic literature, and I just got sick and tired of all these success stories. It's like we're force-fed success stories every day, all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. it's in my sort of business innovation literature. It's in my wife's women's magazine. Oh, look at me. I lose weight. I'm so happy. Look at me. Learn from my success. I just started thinking, you know, where, at least in my, you know, branch with innovation, we know that 80 to 90% of all innovation projects, they fail. Where mm-hmm. are these failures? Why aren't they getting some attention? I dove into that, thought mm-hmm. it's time to give failures some attention because it's through failures that we actually learn, not through success.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I want to know, what is one of your favorite failed products that you have in the museum?
I like the products that maybe don't look so spectacular, but they offer a great story.
Okay.
So at the museum, there's these really cool gadgets. There's sensational electric face masks. There's some, you know, they're sort of spectacular, but the story, I think the story of Blockbuster is good, or even of Kodak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, so we have a Blockbuster DVD case. It was a huge company, you know, 8,000-9,000 stores. And they, you know, because of internal conflicts and mm-hmm. sort of strategy debates there internally, they actually invested in that streaming. They were a huge company.
Yeah.
But then they're like, no, we're too greedy. We want to hold on to our late fees.
Mm-hmm.
So a big part of their profits came from late fees. Yeah. So Netflix is like, no, we changed the model. You just pay a monthly fee and you can keep the films as long as you want to. Blockbuster is like, no, we make our money punishing our customers. And despite being so big and like, you know, massive company,
mm-hmm.
Netflix killed Blockbuster.
That,
and they don't exist anymore.
That is one of the
yeah.
greatest stories, too, because Blockbuster had it all right in front of them. Like, you know, how amazing
they had
this
it right.
Happening.
They were like sitting right there. Yeah.
It's kind of sad because we have a lot of buildings that used to be Blockbusters.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, you can really tell which ones are Blockbusters.
They're all mattress stores now.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think it's so cool.
No, but I mean, it's interesting to look at these failures. I mean, some of the failures are funny. Some of them are tragic. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just weird. But I mean, the main point of the museum is to communicate that we need to accept failure if we want progress. And it doesn't matter if it's progress, sort of innovation for products or technology,
mm-hmm.
or if it's progress in other areas of life. We need to accept that you know, we're going to fail on the way.
Oh, I like that. There's a nice positive spin to all these awful things that just crash and burn.
And speaking of positive spins, you're talking about these great companies that kind of take a swing and just miss it and strike out a little bit. How about, can we talk about the fact that Colgate had a line of dinners, the TV dinners that they put out that were supposed to help you while you were brushing your teeth?
What? No. Oh, now you mixed them up together. The Colgate, according to the literature, brand failure literature, Colgate had a line of frozen dinners out in the early 80s. Ooh. It was a short-lived product. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it wasn't, it tasted like toothpaste or was good, it had fluoride in it. It was just, hey, we got a good brand. Let's start making something else. So that's the only product in the museum. I don't have the original sort of packaging. So we had to reconstruct this sort of frozen dinner. So that's from the sort of brand literature, the sources of what was it like and what year was it released. But Colgate's not, they weren't too happy about it. They actually called me and said, we have no, from New York lawyers, we have no recollection of having a Colgate lasagna. I'm like, no, it's because we made up this box, you know. But you're willing to, if they would, I asked them to send me the original, and I'm willing to, of course, I want to get rid of this reconstruction. I want the original one here.
Yeah, so do you...
But they haven't contacted, they haven't, emailed me.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with, they're probably not going to want to give you an original box.
You don't want to mess with the teeth people.
Yeah, I feel like they probably burned them all in the back.
If it's a bad idea, I don't think they're going to go for it. You know, much in the way of like of Weird Al like creating parody songs and somebody like reaching out to him and being like, please don't do that. Do you have companies that are frequently calling you and saying, hey, could you take this out of the Museum of Failure? Because this is kind of a stamp of, I guess, approval and in a sense.
I can answer a little bit of a different question. When I started the museum, I reached out to the companies that are on, that I have on display and asked them to collaborate, sort of to give me their view and to add more nuanced sort of information about the product and the process. And I think I was up to 12 different companies, cool, innovative companies, and nobody wanted to be associated with the Museum of Failure. And I mean, it's respectful. It's not a, hey, let's go have a laugh at Kodak or Apple or, you know, Microsoft. It's really respectful.
Yeah.
There's some humor, but the tone is respectful, but they still don't want to collaborate.
So how do you, where do you find most of the products? Like you said, you couldn't find the original Colgate. Is it people donating? Where are you getting them from?
The dumpster outside.
The dumpster. So originally I bought a lot of stuff like through Craigslist and whatnot, like local sort of classified sites. But then once the museum got international media attention, it just exploded. So now I get donations from all over the world.
Oh, nice.
That's so cool. Do you have
right now there's more donation. Now I get more donations. I mean, it's really cool. All kinds of weird stuff.
Oh. That's incredible. That's incredible. We're talking to Dr. Samuel West. Awesome, awesome name, too, by the way, for a curator of a museum. We're going to take
I just bought round black glasses as well, so I look like a curator.
Oh, man. It's perfect. So can you hold on the line for us? We got to take a quick break right now. And you're listening to 720 WGN.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to WGN Radio. This is Michael Heidemann. I'm with Esmeralda Leon.
Hello.
And on the phone, we have the great Dr. Samuel West. Not only an amazing name, but an amazing museum that he has all the way out in Sweden. Doctor, so we have a lot of great things in the museum right now. I mean, whether it be Coke Black, which it was so terrible that they took it off the shelves.
Yes.
Do you
and
remember
I
that?
Actually, no, but my boyfriend was telling me about it and how horrific tasting it was.
So it was just jacked up with caffeine then.
It would no, but it was coffee, right, doctor?
No, it was a mix. Imagine a mix of coffee, cold coffee, Coca-Cola and artificial sweeteners.
Oh, no, thank you.
That is not.
That does not sound
a hangover cure that I would
good.
Ever want
no.
to touch.
Or ever.
I actually opened. I had two bottles, and I opened one of them. And most people know their taste, they think it's horrible. But I think it's actually, it's nothing I would drink a whole bottle of. But I mean, it was a curious, sort of interesting, sort of spicy, it wasn't that bad. But it was a taste that was not for everyone, for sure.
Yeah.
We'll take you at your word for it. But I was going to say, you know, whether it be the Coke Black or the Harley Davidson cologne, I wanted to know, is there like a white whale out there that you have not gotten your hands on yet that you're looking to get into the museum?
I found some pictures online of Heinz, like purple Heinz.
Oh,
purple ketchup.
Yes.
I remember this.
And I've looked everywhere. I looked on eBay. I've looked everywhere for this purple ketchup, and I can't find it. So yeah, if anybody has that, send it over to Sweden.
Oh yeah, you're on a, and I actually, you have an email, right, for suggestions?
Yeah, it's the website is museumoffailure.se for Sweden, and yeah, the email address is on there.
Perfect.
Yeah, please, if you have suggestions, let me know.
Yeah,
what I'm actually looking
ketchup.
For is or purple ketchup. I'm looking for suggestions that are not sort of easy to find. I mean, I've combed I've Googled myself stupid for like a year and a half here looking for stuff. But I'm looking for sort of branch specific, like a painter who paints houses and remembers that in the early, you know, 90s, they had paint that was supposed to be, you know, some kind of miraculous paint, and it flopped on the market. Something like that, like something that I could never find on Google.
Okay. So like specific and
people
niche.
People work in, yeah, precis, exactly. I just spoke Swedish there.
How do you say failure in Swedish?
Misslyckanden.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's too much.
I enjoy that word, though. And I enjoy this museum. It's such an interesting concept. I wish we had more of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually curious. So it's in Sweden. Mm-hmm. Is there, and I was looking at the website, it's traveling. Is that right?
Yeah. So we have the permanent museum is here in southern Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two touring exhibitions. One is the proper sort of touring exhibition that goes on tour here later this year, and it's basically a copy of the permanent museum, and then those it's larger cities, LA, New York, Shanghai, are in the pipeline.
Any Chicago?
And then we'll work on that for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to see this museum.
And then and so that's in the works, and then we have a little like a mini pop up museum. There's nine items from the museum that sort of we can set it up over the day at like a innovation event or conference or some kind of in house, you know, kickoff or something for companies or for different events.
Right.
One is really easy. It's like three suitcases and we're off. But it's mini. What is it? What would you say? It's like, what do you call it at Starbucks? It's small, medium, large. So we have small is a pop-up.
Tall.
Medium is a touring and large. Tall.
Is
tall, tall, grande, and a venti. Mm-hmm. Venti's like the big old one.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, that's how we roll.
There you go. And we have a caller on the line, Pat, who has maybe something that you don't have in the Museum of Failure. Pat?
Let me hear.
Pat, what do you have?
Oh, hi, Ezra. It's Paxton.
Oh, Paxton. Yeah, have an idea for the doctor?
Yeah, Dr. Sam, my father failed miserably at this. He developed a glass hammer factory and then the silent smoke alarm. So I can send those to you in Sweden.
Silent smoke alarm.
I could imagine.
Send them over. Send them over.
Thanks so much, Paxton.
Yeah, send them over. What's the website again? Museumoffailure.se.
Museumoffailure.se.
Yes.
I tried to buy the museumoffailure.com. So I got all excited because I was so surprised that it was available. So I was like, yes, I got it. Museumoffailure.com. And then I got the invoice and it said, congratulations, you have bought museumoffailure.com.
Oh, no.
I misspelled museum.
Oh.
So that's why it's in .se. So, yeah.
Oh, you had your little bit of failure. for the Museum of Failure.
Yeah, it was sad and tragic.
It seemed apropos.
Mm-hmm.
And now in retrospect, it seems like it was meant to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It all comes together in the end.
It does. I'm wondering, is there anything current that you have that's going to be in the Museum of Failure? Something of maybe
I do have
this year?
Tidal.
Oh,
that's a great one.
Service Tidal.
Jay-Z's music streaming service.
It's still going. Yeah, I'm convinced that, or I'm not even convinced, it is a commercial failure. Nobody wants to pay extra money for a sound quality difference you can't hear, just so that already rich artists can get more money. It's just a stupid idea.
Yeah.
So it's in the museum. And then some suggestions I've received of what will be in the museum in 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of suggestions that Apple Watch will be in the museum in the future.
I don't know why they came out with that. You know, that is a failure.
I don't get it. It's
kind of stupid.
Little.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did see.
But, I mean, it's too early to say anything now. But, I mean, it seems like it's a good candidate for the museum. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can do a little forecast that it will be a failure. I was going to, and I forgot it, but I was going to bring in, because I think this is perfect for your museum, Pepsi Fire. I don't know if it's in Sweden yet. So Pepsi Fire is Pepsi with cinnamon. And from what I've heard, from what I've heard, it tastes like, I don't know if you guys have Red Hots in Sweden.
Yeah.
Those little cinnamon candies. Apparently it tastes like Pepsi with that.
And you drink that. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it's a drink. Huh. So I'm thinking it's going to be in your museum sometime soon.
That's cool about Pepsi, though. They they flopped with Pepsi Crystal.
Yes, back in the
I think it was in the 90s.
Yes.
But they've actually relaunched it a few times as nostalgia sort of were cool. And it's gone very well. So they've taken a failure. There was a flop.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just relaunched it. And it's actually, the one I have on display at the museum, it's from last year, I think, or 2 years ago. So, I mean, it's cool that they have sort of a nice take on it. They're willing to, they're not trying to hide it.
Yeah, and it's actually happened again with Zima.
Mm-hmm.
Zima's back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's back here in the States. But it's only for a limited time. Do you have that in the Museum of Failure?
No, I don't have Zima. Send me some.
We'll have to get you a six-pack. I don't know if we can send
that. Yeah, give me a six-pack. You can drink it and send me the cans.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we'll send the bottle.
Do you have a bottle of New Coke there too?
Yeah, of course.
That's
New Coke is there. Yeah,
that's one of the classics.
Yeah, one of the classic failures.
Yeah, the new Coke story is the interesting about that. I think there's a great article on Wikipedia about the Cola Wars, but and New Coke. But I think it's interesting there that there's also some information on conspiracy theories, where people are like, Coke could not possibly be that stupid to change their recipe to taste more like Pepsi. And then it actually led to the increased sales for Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of conspiracy theories. They're just kind of interesting to dive into.
Yeah, no, for sure. This museum is amazing.
I love this. I love this idea.
Thank you. I
think it's a very cool concept. And it shows you like that these companies, you know, some people, you know, you just got to swing and miss every once in a while to succeed. Just don't be Blockbuster. That's the one thing. Just don't be Blockbuster.
Don't be Blockbuster. Learn from Blockbuster's mistakes.
If you're coming to Sweden, come visit the museum.
Yes. And
or Denmark. We're actually closer to Denmark than Stockholm. So, yeah, Copenhagen is only an hour from there. Yeah,
perfect.
That was my pitch.
So museumoffailure.se.
.se.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Sam West. Museum of Failure in Helsingborg, Sweden.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to...
Bye.
Great.